From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is Which Way LA.
Antonio Villaraigosa, immigration reform and the Republican Party. Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. After last night's final State of the City speech, Mayor Villaraigosa made clear today he's not done yet. We'll talk with him about a new proposal for city workers to contribute more for retirement and health care. Also tonight, marchers clogged the streets of Los Angeles today in support of comprehensive immigration reform targeting U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. And the Republican National Committee is meeting in Hollywood. Is it making good on a promise to reach into hostile territory? Later on To the Point, pro-lifers are targeting Roe versus Wade. First, here's the news.
Listen to KCRW's 24-hour all-news channel. Stream BBC World Service, NPR, and KCRW programs. Continuous coverage and accessible via our smartphone app or online at kcrw.com.
I'm Armin Alney. Roe versus Wade may be settled law, but the pro-life movement is increasing demands for bans and restrictions on a woman's right to choose an abortion. We'll hear what's happening in very red states and what it means in law and in politics. That's later on To the Point. First, this story. Last night, Antonio Villaraigosa made his last State of the City address as mayor of Los Angeles. He took credit for declining crime, reduced air pollution, new light rail lines, and paved bikeways. Today, he is making more news. He's still mayor, after all, by saying that city workers should contribute 20% of their salaries toward their retirement, 18 to 20% for health care. He joins us now. Welcome, as always.
Hey, Warren, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. So you are still mayor for some time to come. Are you going to formalize these proposals and present them to the council or to the unions and enter into negotiations?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for having me on your show. And I want to thank, as I did last night, and say to the people, your listeners who didn't either watch or listen to the State of the City, thank you for the opportunity to let me be mayor. This is an honor that I frankly never expected as a growing up in City Terrace as a young boy, and I couldn't be couldn't have had a better time and serving the people of this city.
The only reason I didn't begin and let you say that at the outset was that I know you'll be talking to us again before you are no longer the mayor of Los Angeles. So
right.
Just let me
and
put
with
that,
respect
make that
to those
point.
Proposals, yeah. What I have said is to start. I've said that our employees, the ones who got the 25% increase, ought to give back 15% of it. If they had a 10% increase over 5 years, that would still be 2% a year in the worst recession since the 1930s. That's not a draconian request. In addition to that, I've asked them to pay at least 10% for health care. Some of them are paying 5 now. They used to pay 0. You know that for a family of 4 or 10 on Kaiser, city employees pay 0. Civilian employees. I mean, that's not sustainable going into the future. And why I said, you know, yes, it's true. We've gotten them to almost double their contributions to our retirement. They used to pay 6. They're now paying 11. But that still isn't sustainable for us going forward. When I was elected mayor, we were paying 10 cents on the dollar for pensions and health care. It's now 18 cents on the dollar. And in 3 years, it'll be 24. We've gotten our new employees to go, that we've changed their retirement from 55 to 65. And they used to get 90% after 33 years. Now they can only get 75%. And more importantly, in a down year, we would pay everything if we lost money in the market. Now they have to pay half.
Let me ask you this. You used to be a union organizer. Ian Thompson with the SEIU said after the speech, you sounded like some billionaire on Wall Street got your ear.
Well, Ian Thompson doesn't know what he's talking about. Look, what I'm talking about is protecting the health care and the pension benefits of our current employees. And in order to do that, we've got to be more sustainable, and we've got to make the shared sacrifice and responsibility to put us on a more sustainable path. I've had to make tough calls, and I made them because I knew that if we didn't make them, we would have been in a bankruptcy. We went from a $1.1 billion structural deficit to we've cut almost 90% of it, and we've got to do more.
Okay, let me ask you about more and what happens for the future. I want to play a little bit of last night's speech where you took aim at the campaigns of Wendy Gruhl and Eric Garcetti, one of whom is going to replace you on the 1st of June.
It's been so disheartening to see our mayoral candidates devote so little time to a serious discussion of how to deliver a quality education for all our children.
Okay, now they're talking about education. Are you going to make an endorsement based on what they say on that?
I doubt if I make an endorsement. I may, but I'm not. I'm focused on the job right now, not on the campaign. But I will say this. I do believe that the candidates are going to have to lay out a blueprint for what they're going to do to improve our schools. You heard me say it yesterday. Because of my involvement with the school board, we've elected now twice, and we're working on a third, a set of school board leaders who are supportive of improving our schools. We've doubled the number of schools in the last 8 years at 800 and above on the Academic Performance Index. That's what the state says is a successful school. We've gone from 33% of our schools that were failing to 10%. We've increased the graduation rate from 48% to 64%. My partnership schools, the 22 schools, 16,000 kids, if they were a school district, were the most improved in the state. And what I've said to both candidates, we've done it because the mayor got involved, because he rolled up his sleeves, visited schools on a regular basis, got involved with the school board and the superintendent. And I want to see, and I think the people want to see, that the next mayor is as involved as I've been. That means you got to be tough and bold, that we got to set high standards of accountability and responsibility for all of us, for the mayor, for principals, for teachers, for parents and students. And that's why we've made some of these successes. You know, in the last 8 years, we've tripled the number of charters. We have more kids in charters than any school district in the country. But more importantly, we've increased by ninefold the number of successful charters at 800 and above.
Okay. Here's another passage from last night's speech I want you to comment on before we run out of time.
Now, there have been some bumps on the road, some potholes, if you will, some detours, some missteps, and yes, there have been some failures.
You mentioned that 25% increase in salaries. Is that the worst mistake?
And that is without question the biggest mistake. The council and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. It was a 15-0 vote. We bought it because the CAO at the time recommended it. The employees hadn't gotten a raise in a couple of years, and the differential between them and Department of Water and Power employees was great. And we were convinced that we should support it. It was just before the economy tanked out. It was the biggest mistake, and that's why we've made the tough decisions on pensions and health care and cutting the size of the workforce. We've reduced the size of the civilian general fund workforce by a third. 5,000 employees we've cut. We've consolidated departments. We're focused on streamlining our red tape. We've doubled the number of businesses since 2010, making $500,000 or more, because we've been very business-focused. But we got to do more to put us on a more sustainable path. You said something about I sounded like a billionaire, according to Ian Thompson. Look, mayors across the country are grappling with pension issues. Governors are grappling with pension issues. The president just announced that he supports entitlement reform. I'm 60 years old, Warren. I'm going to live till I'm 80, God willing. We can't retire based on actuarials that said we're going to die at 62 or 65. And that's all we're saying. And if we do those things in a smart way, in a collaborative way, we're going to be able to provide the services the people of this town need.
Okay, well, you're talking like an ex-mayor already. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to ride into the sunset and have a good time. No, look, I'm going to work probably with a think tank or university, do some public speaking.
No Obama administration job?
You know, I'm going to focus on trying to fix what's broken, on really kind of reflecting on almost 20 years of public service, and And like I said, I couldn't be more honored to have been mayor, and I'm going to be mayor, by the way. And one thing I've made clear to the candidates, there's only one mayor at a time. I'm going to be mayor till 11:59 and 59 seconds on June 30th. And as you can see, we're still focused on the job. With Gore, 2 weeks ago, we announced we've got a set of agreements to get out of coal by 2025. We're at 28% below Kyoto levels. And by the way, let me say something about a million trees. Nobody mentions that we're the number one American city in terms of reducing carbon emissions.
But you said a million. You only planted 380,000. Yeah, can you plant that many more before you leave?
We'll be at 400,000 by the time I leave. But the U.S. Forestry Service says we're the model for the million tree program in the nation. New York, Denver, and Houston also haven't gotten to a million in the worst economy. And also, we're planting six times the trees that we used to, and we have a survival rate 50% better than the national average. You won't read that in the newspaper of record because they like focusing on what people haven't done. And one of the things I've said to the candidates, and I'll say to you, if you go at bat and you think you're going to strike out and you don't try to get a hit and get on base and pray for a home run, then you're not doing your job. You know, we've got to think big and be bold and set high standards for ourselves.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll make it, and sometimes you won't.
All right, we're out of time. Still swinging for the fences. Antonio Villaraigosa, the mayor of Los Angeles for the next couple of months. And come back and talk to us some more.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. We'll be right back with Which Way L.A.?
Subscribe to the Which Way LA podcast at kcrw.com/whichwayla or on the podcast page at iTunes. You can also find Which Way LA on KCRW's smartphone apps, now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry.
Warren Olney back with Which Way LA. From San Francisco to Bakersfield, from San Diego to the streets of LA, demonstrators gathered today to push for comprehensive immigration reform. The marches and rallies in California were designed to coincide with the demonstration on the west side of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. One target of the marchers here in Los Angeles was California's senior U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. Here's Maria Elena Durazzo, who's head of L.A.'s Central Labor Council.
Shame on her for not being an outspoken champion for immigration reform in this country. We will continue to talk to her, but the time will come when she has to take a position publicly, nationally, to defend the best possible immigration reform for the United States of America.
KCRW Saul Gonzalez was on the streets with the demonstrators this afternoon. He's here in the studio now. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you, Warren.
Senator Feinstein says she's working hard on trying to work out a deal between the farm workers and the farm owners.
Yes, and there was something announced on that yesterday. But the concerns of the marchers today dealt partially with that, but it dealt a lot with family reunification issues. And they feel that Feinstein is an ally, yes, but not strong enough of an ally when it comes to family reunification, and her still, according to them, somewhat murky stance when it comes to, is she going to support visa reform so that, say, you have a family where some people are legal, other people are illegal or undocumented, they can stay together as a family in this country. And that was their chief concern today. And family was a big deal today. I mean, we were speaking earlier, this could have been, you know, if you took away the issue of immigration, this could have been a kind of a focus on the family, pro-family rally today, because that was really the message. We want to keep families together that right now are separated by what they say is our broken immigration policy.
Of course, that's one of the things that the anti-immigration people talk about the most, is we have too many people coming in and bringing their families with them.
That's exactly right. But of course, this side says, hey, we have 11 million people here, 12 million people, who knows? They're not going back. And we cannot cause extra pain to these people who live in the shadows by also separating their families, by also splitting these families up.
How many more, has anybody estimated how many more people there might be if, in fact, there were family reunification extended for the 11 million that are already here?
I don't know how many people would really be affected by that, quite honestly. You know, just to return to the rally of this afternoon, what was also interesting is just how much of an ethnic coalition it was. These are more than just Latino faces in the crowd. crowd, Latino marchers. These were also Asian Americans. There were also Armenian Americans, a lot of Anglos out there. I think they really wanted to emphasize that broad tapestry, that broad spectrum. There was also kind of, to me at least, surprising figures involved. There was a lot of union membership there, both from Unite, that's the Service Employees Union. It's very much has a lot of Latino membership, a lot of immigrant membership, no surprise there. But also you had like the Iron Workers Union. They were there. And I think this people fighting for immigration reform want to show, hey, we are forming alliances with people and organizations that were once our opponents.
Let's hear somebody else that you talked to.
Yeah, this is Juan Jose Gutierrez. And Juan Jose, I've known him for 20 years. He appears at every single immigration march, it seems possible. He must travel by pneumatic tube from one to the other. But this is what he had to say at the march this afternoon.
We want them to negotiate seriously, to understand that this human problem is real, that it's tearing families apart, that it's causing real pain, and that it constitutes an unacceptable violation to the principles of respecting human rights in this country, and that the time has come to legislate seriously and achieve comprehensive immigration reform as soon as possible. We have the wind at our back, but in politics, the danger is always lurking that if you don't push hard and if you don't get the proper signatures on the dotted line, you haven't gotten anything.
So what about the wind at his back and the back of the others, presumably at the demonstration as well?
Well, that's what I thought was so interesting. Because I asked him, hey, isn't the momentum all on your side? I mean, aren't things going your way? Aren't you at a place that you couldn't have imagined even 6 months ago or a year ago? He said yes to all of that. But this is also a man who represents a community who say they've been here before, maybe not this close, but they've been at the brink of immigration reform in recent years. And it fell back, and it fell away, and what seemed possible became quickly impossible to do.
Did they stop traffic this afternoon?
Yes, they marched very civilly from a park in West Los Angeles to the corner of Sepulveda and Santa Monica. I thought they were going to stop there, but they did kind of a victory lap around this very busy intersection. A couple of those, I'm sure commuters facing that were not in favor of immigration reform at that very moment.
Lunchtime crowd.
And then they gathered in front of Feinstein's office, rallied there, and gave a lot of speeches about how Feinstein simply has to clarify her position on immigration reform.
She, of course, is in Washington at the moment, so she wasn't looking out the window.
No, but I'm sure her staff were looking out the window. And they actually came down and handed out flyers about her position on this, saying, you know, Senator Feinstein, longtime proponent of immigrant rights, she's with you on this issue, generally speaking, but it didn't address the particulars of their concerns regarding family reunification. I thought it was also interesting that a lot of speakers talked about her Jewish background and how, you know, she's, I believe they said, the child of immigrants. I don't know her life well enough to know, but how she comes from, you know, her family has its immigrant origins, and as she considers this issue, she should remember that.
How many people?
Oh, I don't have that magic formula to ascertain the size of crowds, but some hundreds.
Sure.
and polite but raucous.
Tal Gonzalez, as always, thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
We'll be right back with Which Way LA.
You're listening to Which Way LA from KCRW. Share your comments about today's show at kcrw.com/whichwayLA or join the conversation on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter at WWLA.
Orban Alney back with Which Way LA. After last year's presidential election, Reince Priebus, the chair of the Republican National Committee, said the party had done a lousy job reaching out to women and Latinos and Asians, and he promised to work in areas which have been hostile to the GOP. Today, the Republican National Committee began 3 days of meetings in Hollywood. Sean Steele is a Republican National Committee member, and he's former chair of the party in California. Welcome back to our program.
Thanks very much, Warren. Always great to be with you.
Is this blue state of California hostile territory for the Republicans?
Well, it's tough territory. We got a state that's run entirely by government unions, where they could produce tens of millions of dollars each month that pay off their Democrat legislators. So, yeah, it's a very tough, tough state. But the whole point of having the RNC meet in Hollywood, California, is not an accident. It's a statement.
And what is it a statement of?
Well, the statement is that the Republican Party lost a darn close national election. It hurt badly, but it was real close, just a few points. still kept the House, got more states as governorships than ever before. And if the party is going to learn from its painful loss of the past, it's going to have to go in places they don't often go to. That means California, and that means the urban cores in America.
You yourself are a very conservative Republican. You led the party in that direction in California. Are you going to have to change some of your positions on Social Security, on Medicare, on taxes, on immigration?
Well, Warren, we got to go over each one of those issues to make sure you and I are actually saying the same thing. I consider myself a libertarian conservative. As a member of the Libertarian Party, as a founder when it first started in California, So everybody's got a unique and different definition, and I take my policy positions very thoroughly and carefully, and I write about them. We got to be careful not to stereotype that.
Okay.
I'm very much of a live and let live kind of guy, and most of the party is that way. Now, we have a large party with lots of factions and people that really disagree among themselves. So at the end of the day, it's not a matter of adopting a whole bunch of popular, faddish, liberal positions. It's a matter of having messengers in different communities that the Republicans don't have. That was our number one weakness. Our number one weakness is our failure to have the kind of support we used to have in the Asia Pacific community, the turnoff that we are experiencing in the Latino communities, the problems that we have with young people and particularly with single women. These are areas, demographics, that we've got to improve upon. Now, we do well with all kinds of other groups, and we got 47% of the national vote, but that is a majority.
Okay, well, tell us specifically, as quickly as you can, because we don't have unlimited time, what you're going to do for Asian Pacific Islanders, for Latinos, for young people, for women.
We're going to start communicating a whole lot better. It's not a matter of coming up and grabbing a bunch of loot from the taxpayers and paying off people like promising endless welfare checks. That's not our model. That's more the Obama model. He likes a dependency class, and his people have suffered tremendously and continue to suffer worse, which is one of the great ironies in American political history. He gets the support of a lot of poor folks that are still poor and getting poorer with fewer jobs. Our party's different. We're looking at reaching out to the Asian Pacific community and simply saying the values that you generally hold are certainly the values that most Republicans that identify with. The Democrats have done a better job in getting Asian faces to run for office who identify much easier and communicate much easier within their ethnic communities. Our party's got to really embrace those emerging demographic realities and get a lot more messengers, people like my wife.
What about Latinos and immigration reform?
Well, especially Latinos. It's a community that Ronald Reagan, even Pete Wilson got 40% of the Latino vote. George Bush did in 2004. It's not a monolithic community. What's a Latino? You got Cubans, Central Americans, South Americans, second generation, third generation. It's a huge melting pot of different combinations.
But to appeal to Latinos in California, don't you have to take a pretty liberal view of immigration reform?
I wouldn't call it liberal, but I think it's got to be resolved. The perennial idea that millions of people can live in a shadow existence has got to be resolved. And I think Marco Rubio probably has the boldest vision of all to legitimize folks that have come here, but they're going to have to wait, like everybody else, to ultimately get their citizenship, learn the language, pay the fines. And remember, there's 4.5 million people that are waiting to come to America from other countries, and they certainly have fundamental rights, too, that I strongly support. We want more immigration.
What about the next 3 days? Who's going to speak? Who's been invited to be here? And what face are you going to show the people in Hollywood?
Okay. We've got some really we got Mayor Alan Fung, who's running for governor in Rhode Island. He's a Republican mayor of the third largest city, a gritty city of Cranston, Rhode Island. He's one of the new wonders that we really like, thinks he's got a good future. Rocky Chavez, who's our Latino assemblyman from Oceanside, good, sharp Republican. He's brand new to the legislature. I think he's an emerging rock star. My wife, Michelle Park Steele, Korean-American, trilingual, is the highest elected Republican in California, is also foreign-born, an immigrant, that represents 9 million people on the Board of Equalization. So we've Emilia Love. We all saw her. She's a mayor in Utah. She ran for Congress, lost narrowly. We'll get elected next time. African American woman in Utah that is spectacular. Yeah. Now, we're going to have some governors are going to be coming. Keeps changing, but it's the place to be.
Very quickly, we've got very little time left. Are you going to be talking about regional primaries, compressing the campaign calendar, not having the same endless stream of presidential primaries that you had last time around?
Absolutely. Not only is that on the agenda, and talking about it, not resolved this weekend, but it's a process that these folks who are very, very politically minded are very much focused on, but also making the conventions earlier rather than later in the year. How about all these presidential debates, 22, 25,
yeah,
reducing that to maybe an even dozen, making it more effective? Everything is being reexamined. There are no sacred cows.
Okay. Thanks for a preview. That's all the time we have. Sean Steele, National Committeeman, a former California Republican Party chair, speaking to us from the RNC meeting in Hollywood. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Warren.